Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesar Sportsbook. I'm Katie Mox. We've got a great show for you today. Our friend Danny Brasco is here. And spring training baseball is officially underway. So we'll take a look at some MLB futures for the upcoming season. Plus, we'll get some best bets on the hardwood tonight, both NBA and college hoops. And of course, you know it. You've got some Mox Locks coming your way. Before we get started, let's welcome in said guest, Mr. Monday, Danny Brasco. How are we doing, pal?
I'm doing good. It's another Monday. I had a great week in UFC betting, so I'm really happy. Watched a very interesting Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury fight last night.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think of that? I'm not at the point in my life where I'm paying for a Jake Paul fight, so I did not watch it. I saw the scorecard, I guess, if you will, at the end of it. It seemed like he was, Jake Paul was dominated the whole time outside of, I guess he had one good hit that kind of made him stumble. But what did you think of that fight?
Yeah, oddly controversial. He did have that knockdown at the end, more of a stumble than a true knockdown. He caught him, He punched him and he fell, but it wasn't like he clobbered him. But, the referee totally over-involved himself. He deducted points on multiple times. It was the wrong referee for a low-level fight. Like, you got to know who you're dealing with. And that made the scorecards all wonky. Aside from that, you're right. Tommy Fury did look better than Jake in a lot of moments, but it was a weird fight to score. He loses by split decision. You always think the fix is in for Jake. This time it goes to Tommy. Yeah. So weird stuff. And now we got spring training baseball. I mean, so much.
Yeah. Well, so you think that the fix was in for Fury? You think that Jake should have won this fight?
I don't want to say that. Like, if I had scorecards of my own, I might give it a draw. Yeah. Like, I thought that Jake had 2-10-8 rounds. I thought he won the round that Fury got a point deducted. So if there are 2-10-8 rounds, and the way I put it together, I think maybe a draw, but I'm not mad at the decision. It's just a weird, weird fight.
I just thought it was funny. And look, again, I didn't watch it. I saw the clips later where he was like, I was sick. I hurt my arm. And it's like, bro, you lost the fight. Okay. Like, the amount of excuses that were pouring out of him. And I guess it is his first loss. And it is the first time that he was supposedly, and you'll know more than me, betting a real fighter, even though I think that Fury is really just what, like, the nephew or the brother of a real fighter. Right? I mean, is that
Tyson's brother? And accurate? He can box, but he's not Tyson. Tyson's one of the greatest to ever do it. Tommy's not so much.
Not so much. Okay. Well, on that note, let's get right into Mox Thought. And look, baseball is already underway. Spring training has started. I know you're a big Yankees fan. Everyone's feeling hopeful this time of the year. So why not head into some way too early futures bet for the MLB? And look, we're not going to get into the World Series quite yet. That's too much of a jump for me. But let's look at these league winners. Who do you see coming out on top in either the AL or the NL?
Obviously, this is very hard for me. You see all the Yankee stuff in the background. And as a pro bettor, the one thing that I always tell people that follow my bets is I don't give out Yankee bets because there is real bias in there for me. Like, I grew up with the Yankees. It feels like it's betting against childhood me. Yeah. Like, it's just wrong. So I always say my Yankee takes are with a grain of salt, and I'll pass on them over here because I feel like I can't give an unbiased opinion. And sadly enough, that leads me to pick the Astros to win the World, the World Series. I don't want to predict that. But the AL again, I mean, they didn't get any worse, Katie. Like, I thought when they lost Correa to the Twins, maybe there's a void there a little bit. And Jeremy Pena emerges even better than he ever was. So they just didn't get any weaker. And their pitching, their depth stays there. I don't know who takes the Astros down. So I'll lay the plus 260 chalk, I guess, and pick them to win the AL.
I like it. And it's hard to argue with that. You know, I went a little bit more of a long shot with mine. I'm taking the Phillies to win the NL at plus 800. And look, Phillies, once again, obviously trail behind. You got the Dodgers, the Braves, the Mets, who had a crazy offseason, and the Padres. I'm really high on the Padres. I'll get into that in a second. The Dodgers, to me, are a great, great team. They always do well. They're always at the top of, the amount of wins that they have every single season. But beyond, winning in 2020, they kind of tend to fall apart in the postseason. Braves, I like a lot. And the Mets, I was high on the Mets last year, and the Mets were just Mets. So it's hard for me to go again. But the Phillies. Okay, so let's get into the Phillies. They were two wins away from winning the World Series just last season. I feel like they stunned a lot of people. They're returning a similar roster that they had in that playoff run. And they added Walker and Kimbrel to the pitching rotation. And they already had a pretty good bullpen. You got Aaron Nola, you got Zach Wheeler there. And yes, there's the question mark of Bryce Harper, right? He's out for the first part of the season, I think, due to Tommy John surgery. But even if I look at last year, he missed 2 months last year with thumb, and they did all right. So at plus 800, I think that the Phillies can get into the wild card spot again. And then once they're there, they can make some noise. So at plus 800, I kind of like this as a long shot.
Spicy. So, hey, they did exactly that this past postseason. Nobody expected them to make it all the way there. So yeah. If you feel like you're getting plus 800 good odds and they could run it back, I certainly could see them sneaking a wild card spot. The NL East is seemingly up for grabs any year now with the Braves, Mets, and the Phillies. Yeah. Why not? I'm not mad at it.
Why not? Okay, so let's go down one notch here and look at divisions. Who do you see coming away with their division, any division? What do you think?
So I'm going to look at the central divisions for the looks over here. And I feel like those are the ones that are typically up for grabs. AL Central, NL Central, it's always down to the last week of the season. Who's going to, you know, half game? Who's got the tiebreaker? Like, these are always razor thin. So everybody in the AL Central is plus money. I'll take the Guardians, who won it last season by a considerable margin, at plus 145. They're just so hard to get out, Katie. Like, they have no holes in that lineup. Steven Kwan, this guy came on the scene. He just doesn't strike out. You got him in front of a guy like Jose Ramirez, who's super dangerous. They get more powerful down the lineup. And so many guys have very low strikeout rates. So they're just a tough out throughout that lineup. Yeah. The pitching depth was there. And I'm not really that afraid of anybody in the AL Central. The White Sox let us down time and time every year. So I just don't trust them anymore to make that leap to take the Central. I love Terry Francona, their manager, scrappy guy who's won a World Series before with the 04 Red Sox. Yeah. Can't believe I just brought that up. PTSD. But I like the Guardians to scrap it out and take the AL Central again this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at the AL Central, and it is so up for grabs, everybody at plus money. But then I went back to someone that you and I were both high on last season, and I'm going to take the Padres to win the NL West at plus 140. Wow. And I know they're behind the Dodgers, and I get it, right? The Dodgers had a franchise record of 111 games won last year, 22 more than the Padres. They've also won 9 of the last 10 divisions, 3 pennants, a World Series title. We get it. We get it, Los Angeles. But I feel like the Padres are no longer the Dodgers' little brother in the NL West, right? They stunned the Dodgers last year in the divisional series, winning 3-1. You got Manny Machado that's finalizing his $350 million extension, which, thank God, they got that done, because before he signed with San Diego, they hadn't made the playoffs in 13 years. On paper, right? On paper, Danny, this team is legit. You got Juan Soto, you got Tatis Jr., you got Machado. The pitching rotation is elite. You got Musgrove, Darvish, Snell. I don't know. At plus 140, of course, you could go chalk. You could go with the Dodgers. But I could see that the Padres are going to upset some things again this year. And look, maybe I'm still high on all of the upsets last year, but give me the Padres to win.
I'm not mad at it at all. I mean, baseball isn't basketball, so the big three isn't quite a thing in this game. But if there's a big three in baseball, it's Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis, and Juan Soto. I mean, they've got the biggest collection of three-star players there, and it'll be their first year fully together. Tatis was hurt and suspended, so now we can see what that big three does. If you're facing them 3-4-5 in a lineup, God bless. I mean, good luck. So I like them to maybe upset the Dodgers this year.
All right, let's go. Okay, so now let's look at season win totals. Any team, an over or an under? What are you thinking, Danny?
So I'm going to go back to not quite yet. I got ahead of myself.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to pick the ugliest pick on the board, and I'm going to take the Athletics to go under 59 wins and be the league's worst team.
Oh, it's so low.
It's the lowest. I mean, that would imply a more than 100 losses on the season. And they damn near did that last year. They actually had a 4-game win streak to end the season that made them not the worst team, just to the Washington Nationals. But it was sort of like an unlikely 4-gamer real quick to get out from underneath the bottom of the barrel of the league. They just didn't get any better. And more than anything, my angle is that I don't think the MLB wants a team in Oakland anymore. Like, they have by far the lowest attendance. And I read an article about this Oakland A's sports writer, and he said, even if we did do well and surprise some people, there wouldn't be anyone around to see it. And I think that more than anything is, if they have a horrible season, we might move this team to Vegas or something like that. So I don't see any positive regression happening for the A's honestly.
No, I don't. And for a long time, the A's, even though it's like management has just kept trading away all of their best players, they still somehow were squeaking into the playoffs
for a while there.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's kind of, and look, my family are A's fans. I'm not as big into baseball. I feel like I've kind of reverted now to a little bit maybe of like a New York baseball gal. Maybe it's just from hanging out with you and Kirsten.
We'll take it. Come on over.
Happy on board. I got to adopt one team everywhere that it, but anyway, so grew up A's fans. And it was last year that my brothers were finally like, you know what? We are done with the A's. They do this to us every single season. They trade away all of their good people. They don't invest at all. And I think that to the point, I think the A's also maybe want to move to Vegas. But the statistics that I've been looking at is that baseball might not do as well in Vegas as, let's say, it's because it's not a destination sport like football is, or maybe like basketball can be. So I don't know how well the A's will do in Vegas, but certainly I'm not against you on this one. I'm looking at the Cubbies and I'm taking them over 77.5 wins. And maybe this one's a little bit ugly too, okay? Because it's the Cubs. And they did have 74 wins last season. And they've done some good rebuilding. They signed free agents. You got Swanson, Tyone, Bellinger, Trey Mancini, Eric Hosmer. And yeah, maybe Cody Bellinger hasn't been that great the last couple seasons. He also really hasn't been healthy. And if you look at it, if let's say he has a healthy season, that's going to improve on their defense a lot more. And they've added some veteran leadership there, which I think is going to help them. And then, you know, we kind of talked about this already. The Reds and the Pirates kind of seem to be tanking. It's one of the weaker divisions in baseball. They do have a great farm system. So 74 up to 78 with all of this rebuilding that they've done, I can see this over.
Interesting. And I like that you're attacking the NL Central, another division up for grabs. Like you mentioned, Pirates and Reds, weaker teams maybe that you could pick up some wins on. I also like that you're attacking a team that's not like one of the marquee names. Of course, you want to back the Dodgers, the Astros, the Yankees, but betting on a win total that's in the high 90s, you're going to be sweating that out to the last week of the season. And if they go through one bad 2-3 week period where they just can't win a game, you're going to lose. So I'd rather play a total in this range instead of hoping my team can win 100 games. Right? It's not easy to do in the MLB. Injuries happen. So I'm interested in this all of a sudden.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'm happy to pique your interest. All right. So who's going to make the playoffs? Yes or no bets, Danny? What do you think?
Playoffs? Talking about playoffs? It's February. We're talking about playoffs. Here we go. I'm doing my best, Jim Mora. I'm going to go back to the Central, NL Central. Let's go with the Brew Crew, the Milwaukee Brewers, to make the playoffs. We got plus 110 on that. And again, up for grabs will be the theme of this division. I think that they can pull it off behind their depth of pitching. Corbin Burnes, Freddie Peralta, Devin Williams. I mean, they have a nasty rotation, and I don't see it getting any worse this year. I think that'll carry them through this more than anything. And again, a division that's always down to the wire. I think the pitching wins out here. So give me the Brewers to take the NL Central.
The Brew Crew. Okay, so I'm going to do a neighbor of that and actually stay in Chicago. I'm taking the White Sox to make the playoffs. Wow. Is that plus money at plus 115? And I know they've underperformed expectations for the last couple seasons. They missed the playoffs last year. They were absolutely riddled with injuries, though. And, you know, you had the La Russa situation. I kind of think he was inept. You know, he stepped down due to his health issue, says that he wasn't doing his job well. Well, duh, anybody could tell you that. I just feel like they're kind of primed this year to make another postseason run. You know, they've got the new manager that's stepping in. Their starting rotation is still deep. They signed Andrew Benintendi to a franchise record 5 years, $75 million deal in the offseason. I just feel like we could see a bounce back here in the AL Central for them. And look, they were a powerhouse. You know, back in, what was it, even just 2021, they were doing a lot better. So they missed it last year. I could see them getting back plus 115.
And look, new managerial blood, that could change everything, right? Culture change, you know, new clubhouse vibe. I mean, sometimes that's all the difference. So, hey, maybe he comes in, brings the new energy, and this team looks better than they have in recent years, underperforming a little.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I can't believe I got two bets in Chicago to start things off the year.
Cubs and White Sox. Yeah, you're a Chicago fan this season.
All right, so let's talk player props. And there's a multitude of things that you can bet on, you know, strikeout prop, home run leader, steals, all kinds of things. I'll go first on this one, and I'm going to take Aaron Judge as the home run leader yet again at plus 600. He had 62 home runs last season, and throughout his career, it's 52, 39, 62, the last three seasons of playing at least 148 games. It's hard to lead the league in home runs in consecutive seasons, but I feel like if anyone can do it, it's definitely going to be Judge. No one's done it, I think, since what, Jose Bautista in like 2010 and 11 with the Toronto Blue Jays. He's hit 50 or more dingers twice in his career. And you got to think, you know, with the Yankees lineup and that kind of homer friendly ballpark, I think he could do it again. And the person who had the second most was who? It was Trout. And he had what, like 22 less than Judge had. So it's plus 600. Give me Judge again.
Yeah, I'll go second, Katie. And I'll also take Aaron Judge for a lot of the same reasons. The short porch in right field is a home run hitter's best friend. Normally it benefits lefties more, but Judge loves to go opposite field to that short porch. And honestly, a pop fly to second base is a home run for him. So I think he has all the chances in the world to run it back. Namely, the rule changes in the MLB, I think, will create a lot more offense. Right away in spring training, we're seeing huge issues with this pitch clock. Pitchers are a clock. I hate it. It's totally changing the nature of the game. It's going to take down the quality of pitching. If you're rushed to do something, I mean, think about the dynamic of standing in there with Aaron Judge. All right, am I going to go low? Am I going to go? It's all mind games. And if you have to rush to get in there, you're going to throw one down Broadway. And if you do it to Aaron Judge, things going to the moon. So the pitch clock changes, or the rule changes, at the short porch and right, and Judge, the league hasn't figured him out yet, right? Go low on him, go low and outside. Yeah, he still bats 300 plus now. I mean, he's becoming a better hitter. So, the league's not figuring him out, and the rule changes should create even more home runs. I'll take Judge, too, no problem.
Oh, my God, I didn't even think about that, but I'm glad that we're on the same page for this one. All right, let's take a quick break before we come back for Capper's Corner. Spoiler alert, you're not going to win every bet that you place. But with Caesars Sportsbook, win or lose, every bet gives you reward credits and tier credits, which you can exchange for the best perks in the game. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app and start earning with Caesars Rewards.
Must be 21 or older, offer valid, and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit $1,250. Must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No way to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW YORK or text HOPE-NEW YORK, 467-369. Offer not available in Ohio or Maryland.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Welcome back. Time now for Capper's Corner, and we welcome back in our friend, Mr. Monday, Danny Brasco. All right, Danny, let's take a look at the hardwood tonight, some NBA and or college hoops on the slate tonight. First up, against the spread or money line. What are you thinking?
So I'm going to go to college hoops, and to me, this is the game of the night. Big 12 matchup that should be a straight-up fist fight. These two teams know each other well, and this game's important. It's Baylor taking on Oklahoma State, and I'm going to take the Oklahoma State Cowboys at home +1.5. I just think it's a great spot for them. They've lost four games in a row, but this one they really need to secure their spot in the NCAA tournament coming up in March. Baylor is without their best player tonight, Keontae George, and they're a great three-point shooting team. He's their best three-point shooter. They were without him in the last game against Texas. They still pulled it off. They went down 18-4 real early, but they got some really good bench play, and I think everyone's really high on the fact that, you know, they were able to kind of do next man up mentality and make it work even against a great Texas team. I think that luck is going to run out against a really good perimeter defending Oklahoma State team. So against a good defense at home in a great spot, I'm going to take the short home underdogs, Oklahoma State, at +1.5.
Okay, I love that. I'm looking at your Knicks versus the Celtics tonight. And you know I love a Knicks first half bet, and I'm not against it tonight, although it didn't cash for me the other night for the first time in a long time. So maybe I'm feeling slightly gun-shy, but I'm actually going to take the Celtics -3 at MSG tonight. Now, this line was 2, 2.5. Liked it a lot better then, but I still think that they can cover this number. Head-to-head, the clubs this season, 2-2 in their last four. No team winning two in a row. Knicks won the last matchup January 120-117 in overtime. But the Celtics are still really good against the spread. They're 34-27 throughout the year. They've also gone 18-8 straight up as a road favorite. And yeah, Jaylen Brown is out tonight due to some personal reasons, which is just interesting to me in itself because I feel like Andrew Wiggins is having a lot of personal issues with the Warriors. And now Jaylen Brown is having some personal reasons and he's going to be out. So I feel like that's happening kind of around the league. And that's going to be a big blow. Obviously, Jaylen Brown, one of their really big guys. But if you look at how the Celtics have performed without him, they're actually 9-2 straight up and 10-1 against the spread in games where they played without Brown. And the Knicks have been crazy good right now. They've won 5 in a row. They've covered in 4 of those victories. And they've just been like an offensive juggernaut. They put up 123 points per game since coming back from the All-Star break. But the Celtics defense has also improved. Their defensive rating right now, 118.8 in their last 5 games. That's up from 112.1 on the season. This is already one of the best defenses in the league. I think we're going to see a little bit of regression from New York. I hate to say it, but I think that's going to happen. And the Knicks have not been great at home, just 17-15 at Madison Square Garden. I feel like it's a good get-right spot for the Celtics, who have been winning games, but really not blowing out, really not performing up to their potential since coming back from the All-Star break. So good get back spot for the Celtics, -3 versus the Knicks.
I think your analysis there is pretty strong, especially the perception a lot of time is you lose one of your best players. Oh my God, they don't have Brown tonight. Let's go bet the Knicks as underdogs, right? But they're great on the road and they're even better without, I mean, they're 10-1, you said, without him. So a lot of the time the market overvalues the loss of that player when the Celtics have played just fine without him. So I think you're onto something here. I could see a win, especially looking for revenge against the Knicks, who beat him in overtime last one in TD Garden. Now they get to go try to return the favor in Madison Square Garden. Yes. So it feels like a good play.
Well, and the Knicks are so hot right now, but you got to think the Knicks are also the Knicks, right? So it's hard to just keep riding that gravy train. But, you know, we'll see. I'm still toying on whether I'll take the Knicks in the first half because that is one of the best bets in basketball. All right, let's look at a total tonight. College or NBA, what are you looking at?
So I'm going to look at the UNC Tar Heels game. The Tar Heels have been tough to bet on all year. I mean, they've been a very disappointing season. They had a fantastic run last March and just have not been the same team. They're playing FSU tonight, and every game down the stretch for UNC matters so much and their ability to even secure a spot in the tournament if they can make a push for it. So I think they have to do, if they're going to keep winning games and put a run together, which they've won their last two, they got to rely on their defense. It's been Swiss cheese at times this season, but I've noticed a little bit of heart in their last couple games. They're bearing down. You got the coach screaming at them from the sidelines. I think it's time to bear down, get Armando Bacot protecting the rim down there. And I think on the back of their defense, they could win this game and keep it under the total of 151.5 tonight. FSU has bad defense themselves. They're involved in a lot of high scoring games. So all the money has gone towards the over, but the total came down 2 points. And when you see that reverse movement like that, everyone betting the over, but the odds makers are setting the game total lower, make your hair stand up a little bit. So I'll grab the under and go where the line's moving.
All right, the self-proclaimed king of the under, hitting an under again tonight. I'm looking at the Magic team total over 111.5. And what's interesting about this is that they average under this mark. They average just about 110 per game, yet somehow this is juiced to minus 125. Well, why? Well, the Magic put up 123 in their last game versus the Pelicans. The Pelicans are in a free fall at this point. You know, you got Zion that's out, and they have just been terrible straight up, terrible against the spread. So they're in a bit of free fall. Magic have been kind of hit or miss. I feel like it's a good bounce back spot for them. And their implied total on the season, 115.6 points per game. So that's 4.6 higher than tonight's total. And head to head, the over with these teams is 6-1 in the last seven meetings overall. And then if you look at the Pelicans on the defensive end, they're ranked 17, so middle of the pack in the NBA, but they surrender about 113.8 points per game. So again, looking at this, if the Magic actually average under this mark, yet this is juiced to minus 125, I feel like it's a good play here. So I'm going to take the Magic team total over 111. Now let's look at scoring props tonight. So it can be, you know, just points. It can be whatever you think. So what are you liking for scoring?
Yeah, I mean, let's take superstars to shine in the garden. Everyone loves coming to Madison Square Garden and putting up buckets on my Knicks. So I'll take the best player on the floor to do it. Jason Tatum over 31.5 points. You talked about the Celtics angles before. They're looking for revenge after losing in overtime on their own home floor. Time to return the favor. I think Jason Tatum goes off without his co-star, Jaylen Brown. He's got a shoulder load, probably gets 25 shots up tonight, right? So give me his over point total for sure.
Well, we're on the same page. First of all, I love that. And I'm taking the big guy, Al Horford, over 8.5 points tonight. That's at minus 108. So he averages over this mark this season with 9.3 points per game. And he's actually hit well over this mark. He's been in the teens in three of his last four games. And again, the same thing that you just said about Jaylen Brown being out. I looked at Al Horford, what he averages without Jaylen Brown, and that's all the way up to 10.8 points per game in the last five games without Brown. So I like Tatum to have a big game. I like Horford to have a big game. And unfortunately, I like the Celtics to win this game. So I feel like we are on the same page there. All right, Danny, now let's look at non-scoring bets. So rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, you name it. What do you think?
So I'm going to go to the Heat Sixers game here. And I think Jimmy Butler's rebound prop is set so low. It's at 4.5 rebounds. Now, a little bit juiced, minus 160. But hey, if you want to make it a parlay leg or even bet it straight, how does he not hit this? I understand the last three games he's played in, 2, 3, and 2 rebounds. He's not really grabbing the boards, but he averages over 5 on the season, and they're playing an important game against the Sixers here. The Heat are in a bit of a free fall, 4-game losing streak. They got to step it up here, and I think Jimmy Butler brings that hard-nosed energy he likes to bring in an important game. So if he's going to get up for this one, he should grab more than, you know, 5 rebounds. So I'll take his over rebound prop, thinking he's going to put some effort in tonight.
I love this, and I love that we're on the same games because they kind of go hand in hand. I'm on this as well. I'm taking James Harden over 10.5 assists tonight. That's at plus money, plus 104. So he averages just about this number per game. But like you said, Miami has kind of found themselves in a little bit of free fall. They've lost 4 games in a row, and they've been really getting torched on defense. They've actually allowed 27 assists per game over that span. You look at James Harden, he's actually averaging 14.1 through the last 10 games. So he's been getting a lot of assists in the last 10 games. 10 assists per game this season. And again, I think Miami at some point will get back to their defensive prowess, but James Harden's been killing it, and they've just been getting torched with assists. So I'll take James Harden over the 10.5. All right, Danny, time now to get into mocks, locks. What of everything that you gave us today or a new bet are your best bets for tonight that you're absolutely taking to the window?
I'm taking those college hoops bets to the window. I like the Oklahoma State Cowboys as short home underdogs, plus 105. If you want to, or excuse me, that's on the money line. If you want to take the point and a half, +1.5, maybe a little safer. I could see it being a 1-point game. And I like the under in the UNC FSU game, expecting some defense under 151.5. So two college hoops plays for you guys tonight.
I love that. And I'm going to take the Celtics -3 and Al Horford over 8.5 points tonight. Danny, thank you so much for your time. As always, we'll see you next Monday. This has been Moxie Bets presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social at Moxie Bets, and we'll see you next time.